My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
Boy, it's always great to be here, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the budget fight first at the national level, then we'll get on to Wisconsin. This week we saw the Senate shoot down not only the Republican long-term continuing resolution through the rest of this fiscal year, but also a Democratic version, which was much lower in terms of spending cuts. Sounds like, at least from what some Republicans on the Hill are saying, this is going to play out in two-week stints all the way to the end of September. Is that the case? And if so, who gets the benefit of that?
Yes, it will play out. I have to say that the Republicans will probably benefit in the sense that they are highlighting the effort to make cuts, whether it is in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change or the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or some other government agencies. But when the public sees what they are voting to cut, I think they're going to side with those who want to save money and, in the president's own words, live within our means. I find it interesting that with all that's happening with National Public Radio and the calls for getting rid of government funding of it, as well as for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said yesterday that the president still believes and the administration believes that funding for National Public Radio and the corporation are important. This kind of unusual contrast is going to play out every 2 weeks and well worked for those who want to cut spending in dark economic times.
So as far as the Republicans go, John, we've heard so little talk and really none about even allowing a government shutdown as a worst and last option. Why are they so insistent that these two-week continuing resolutions are a better path forward for the country than making a stand now?
Well, again, I also think that you give them an opportunity to reload on the issue. This is going to play out for a long time. And remember something. When there was talk of massive cuts and the government shutdown actually occurred back in 1995 through 6, the public lost faith with the Republicans, and Bill Clinton from the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue appeared to be a savior. This time, by stretching the issue out over a long run and teaching the public about why it's important to cut these things and precisely what is being cut, it makes a lot more sense than trying to do it all at once.
John, let's move to Wisconsin now, and there had obviously been a stalemate with those state Senate Democrats fleeing to Illinois. Republicans, at least on some levels, have worked around that now, separating the budget and the fiscal issues from the collective bargaining rights issue, and now they're moving forward in the collective bargaining legislation, which has got the unions protesting in huge volume right now in Madison. The public poll numbers seem to be shifting a little bit away from Governor Walker. What's your sense on how this will play out over time?
Well, again, I'm not certain. There's another poll out that showed that 71% of Americans think that government employees have better retirement plans than people in the private sector. This is a Rasmussen poll that just came out. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I also know that the unions, working closely with the Democrats in the Badger State, are exploring a recall method against Governor Walker, very much as Governor Davis of California was recalled 8 years ago. And this might provide a window of opportunity for a comeback by defeated Democratic Senator Russ Feingold. Again, this issue is going to play out in a very distant way for a long time. Remember that Governor Walker signed layoff forms for 1,500 state employees. He's going to be blamed for that, but the reason is because Democrats won't come and meet and vote. He can't pass a budget and hence cannot fund those employees. So my guess is he probably is going to be made to look more like a villain. His popularity will go down. Right now he seems to hold some pretty good cards.
We're talking with John Gizzi of Human Events. And John, let's move on now to a couple of significant events on Capitol Hill today. Starting on Thursday in the House Homeland Security Committee, a whole lot of controversy over Peter King's decision to spend the day looking at the radicalization of Muslims, how that process works, and how the Muslim community can be aware of it and prevent it. What do you make over the controversy, first of all? And secondly, did we learn any more about how to stop the radicalization from happening?
Well, again, this is going to the final act has not played out yet, so we don't know. It seems as though before any final conclusions are reached by Congressman King's committee, he's already being condemned as a witch hunter and a reincarnation of something out of Salem. Why? Because he wants to investigate something that's happened further. Adam Gadan, who came from a family in Orange County, California, began to go to the mosques, and he became truly radicalized. Today we see him as Al-Qaeda Adam, the shrieking, finger-pointing spokesman for Al-Qaeda. And this is an American citizen. Radicalization exists, and that's inarguable. Congressman King is just wanting to find out about it, and I think that those Muslims who are part of a peaceful faith and worship it do not want this to happen, and they should pay close attention.
John, another hearing that didn't get a ton of another hearing today, John, that didn't get a lot of attention was Hillary Clinton before an appropriations subcommittee basically saying that unilateral action by the United States in the situation in Libya is not a good idea. A lot of people frustrated that President Obama is basically deferring to the international community on what to do, if anything, while others like Nicolas Sarkozy suggest that it's time now to recognize the rebels as the legitimate government, perhaps to come through with airstrikes. What's your sense of all this?
Well, again, anything like an airstrike or a no-fly zone could get the United States, and NATO for that matter, fully enmeshed in what is shaping up as a civil war. Obviously, much of the world is disappointed that Gaddafi was not taken out by now and a new anti-government in charge in Tripoli. As a result, though, of getting involved, one has to realize there are many long-term consequences, and remember also that after Iraq and Afghanistan, involvement in a third war in a very mysterious country far away just may not be what the U.S. resources need at this point. Yes, President Sarkozy has taken the step of recognition, and Press Secretary Jay Carney says the administration, through all kinds of different channels, has contact with the rebel forces. Let's just wait and see what happens.
John, last 60 seconds here. Obviously, you've been a member of the journalistic community here in Washington for better than 30 years now. My duration has been about half that time. But one of the legends, really, in the business, David Broder, a longtime political reporter for The Washington Post, before that, The New York Times, dying on Wednesday at the age of 81. How will he be remembered here in Washington?
He's going to be remembered as a grand old man of political reporters and a great mentor to younger journalists coming up. I knew David Broder as we speak. I'm looking at a copy of the book he co-authored, The Republican Establishment, written in 1967, in which he looked at the major presidential candidates, Nixon, Rockefeller, Reagan, and Romney, George, the father of Mitt, that is, as well as the party structure in all 50 states and the Republican National Committee. That's a pretty good guideline for politics today, looking at every aspect of it, the famous and the not so famous at the grassroots level. I think that if I could describe David in one word, it would be a grassroots guy. He would go and have coffee or drinks with precinct captains, county chairmen, and the like, and produce a portrait of just how a national presidential nomination battle would go. And if I may say so, I don't personalize a lot, Greg, but if I can just do half of what he accomplished in his 81 years, I'll have lived a full life. Farewell, David, and thanks.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus.